And you're very welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. Seamus Gunn going to be joining us shortly, so perhaps still time for you to get a legal question in if you wish, but we've comments to get to as well. A caller says, I wanted to read this one specifically because it's one of those ones that people might say, oh, you wouldn't read it out, but I'll get to it in a second. I know it's about us talking about tariffs. Oh, where was it? Right, there's so many here. I'll come to it. We thought these big companies would improve the small companies. Sounds like trickle down was a big fat lie. That's a quote from one of our contributors a little earlier in the show. Sounds like if we want hospitality and tourism to work, the rip-off merchants in the state would need to start cutting prices. Indeed, and mostly in our more urban areas. I'm not saying exclusively, but mostly in our more urban areas. And for a lot of people, you know, you fly into America, you believe New York is America effectively, or if you fly into Faro, you believe anywhere within a stone's throw of Faro is Portugal. And a lot of people come to Ireland and they go into Dublin and they believe that's a representation of what Ireland is, which I think it's very far removed. And sometimes, actually, I believe it's like a gimmickry of what Ireland actually is. No forward planning or thinking. We knew this was going to happen, says the listener. Another caller says, too many in this country forgot how tiny we are. If we go alone, we're buggered. Absolutely buggered. Personally, I'm pro-federalisation. We could become the global superpower if Europe properly united. The largest population, largest economy, some of the best trained militaries in the world. We're talking a new Pax Europe here. Stop America flying into Shannon to refuel, says a listener. Here's it. Here's the one I wanted to reference. Morning panel, the tariff tardiness has set in. Please focus on issues that directly affect the people of Donegal. Now, the reason tariffs came up is because it does affect us directly. A lot of the highest paid jobs and an awful lot of the revenue that the Donegal County Council receive is based off FDIs. Tourism is massive. If the US economy slumps, we don't get the golf tours, which are big money. So your golfing hotels in the county are impacted by that. They lose 20-25% potentially. And we don't see as many visitors coming into our restaurants and our bars. That affects us directly. If Europe enters into a tit-for-tat tariff war, our prices are already going to go up. So what we are paying for stuff goes up. So by any metric at all, what is happening in terms of tariff is directly affecting us. You also reference housing. Our ability to build housing is impacted by a falling economy. The commitment to the defective concrete block issue, which you also referenced, also that is a massive issue that is determined by materials that are purchased to rebuild these homes, for an example. Homelessness and homeless families, thankfully here in the Northwest, not in any way playing down the plight of what some families are going through here. But if you take Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal, homelessness by the metrics used by the state is actually going down here. But the caller goes on to say, we've no control over what Trump is doing. We should focus on how our government is performing. But I'm not contradicting you. I'm just saying the reason it's included in that item is because, as I say, by any metric you use, these tariffs directly impact us. Some of our biggest farming, I never even mentioned farming, the export of butter, milk, cheese, meat, everything is affected by this, and that's why it's being talked about. A caller believes Trump's playing games. Did no one else hear him say that all the leaders of these countries will be calling looking for deals? Indeed, I did. I wish Greg and co had spent as much airtime on Mario Draghi's report last year, which showed the tragic economic stagnation of the EU over decades. It apparently takes a Trump figure to wake up European broadcasters, politicians and citizens. Wasn't at all, not at all familiar with Mario Draghi's report at all. Never saw it. I didn't have sight of it and obviously couldn't talk about it. That's on me, but I just simply didn't. Another caller says, not just for young people in my 40s and I got a provisional license and a wee car, only €8.90 insurance companies would insure me on a provisional for start, then got two quotes, one €1,600 and one €2,100, fully comp. Also, no difference with third party either, as my car is inexpensive. However, 1 year on, it dropped to 1,040 and I still have a provisional license. Okay, so There are deals there. Did you get the black box on that, I wonder? Or is it your age was a factor? Greg, it's a vicious circle, Higher wages, higher costs. It does not matter how much money you get. You're not going to be any better off in Ireland. It's all relative. I don't know how we can bring it back again. And although the wages in some European countries for bar and restaurant work is much lower and hours way longer. True. But also, and I know some of the countries you're referencing there, you have to factor in the cost of living as well. And sometimes the cost of living is much lower. You're certainly not going into a bar like you would in Temple Bar and paying €12 for a pint of Guinness or something crazy like that. Greg, the Irish government and the EU are going to use the Trump tariff to tighten the screw on Paddy, and Paddy will be too stupid to even realise it. A caller believes, yes, driving has got worse. They say the driving now is atrocious. A few more here. Trump is doing what he said he'd do before his election for the good of America and its people. He's putting his own people and country first. It's a pity our government wouldn't work for the good of our own country and people instead of pandering to Europe and handing over our natural resources, example, fishing, peat, and dishing out money to indirectly facilitate wars. We don't want this pandering to Europe, and we don't matter to Europe at the end of the day. What about the 120 tariff that our government has on all new cars coming into the country? That's the VRT, indeed, which has been talked about in this radio station since the get-go and has been challenged in Europe and so on and so forth. Vans from larger outlets delivering into communities on a daily basis will close every local food shop in all rural communities. Yeah, maybe I'm not normal, but I do a certain amount of shopping in the places that the vans deliver from. And then I do quite a bit of shopping too in the local shops. There's a mixture there, for me anyway. It's BS about the Irish climate being suitable for data centres. If that were the case, we'd not be using 15% of our electricity to cool the computer servers. Iceland would be a good climate for them, or Greenland. I'm not making this up. They say, the data centres say that you use less electricity to cool the data centres and to run the data centres in a cooler climate. I haven't a clue about it. I just heard a data centre expert say that, someone who works in that industry. So maybe you're right, but that's just what I heard from someone in the industry. Hi, Greg. I'm no fan of Trump, but he seems to be targeting Asia, and surely the EU should try and import less cheap fashion and plastic tat and toys that break easily and fill up our landfill. Will there be more help and less red tape for people trying to start up a small business in Ireland, and especially rural Ireland? Well, I heard someone talk about this, and whilst we pay the wages that we pay, whether we like it or not, and we lost big manufacturing companies in this county over the head of it, there's a big difference between £1.50 an hour and, you know, €14 an hour. And I don't think red tape, unless people are prepared to pay morally much more, like, you know, you're not going to produce a T-shirt in this country for €5. I saw T-shirts yesterday in a shop for €5. They are produced in the other end of the world, and they can get the materials, pay people to make them, put them on a massive container. It sails all through the world, through the Panama Canal, goes into Dublin or Belfast, is unloaded, loaded into a van, driven all the way up here and put on a shelf, and they can sell it for €5. Now, there's no red tape in the world that I think you could produce that T-shirt and make a profit at €5 in this country. So I just, and I don't think people are going to make the moral choice to say, you know what, I'll pay four times the cost for a T-shirt because it's made locally, or because of the environment, or because of unfair wages in other countries, and so on and so forth. Okay, right, let us take a break. We are going to be back with Seamus Gunn. He's going to be answering your legal questions, but as always, I'm going to be interested to hear what Seamus has to say, and we're going to have to talk about the tariffs. I mean, obviously, we're going to move on next week. There'll be new stories and new issues. But for now, right across the world, it's the biggest story. We can't avoid it. All right, we're already very excited for the April the 16th, and it's not long away now, just a little over, in fact, less than 2 weeks away, because we've a €20,000 draw. And it's going to take place on Around the Northwest with John Breslin. It's in association with our friends at Foy's. We're giving you a chance to win a €10,000 home makeover. So you can spend €10,000 in Foy's, and they've got everything you would need to, and for €10,000, make your house look absolutely amazing. And maybe it's a little bit tired here or there, You can change lots and lots of stuff for €10,000. That's not bad, is it? Well, we're going to chuck another €10,000 in on top of that of cash to spend on it, what you will. You can put that towards the house or indeed buy yourself a car, go on holidays, whatever you might wish. So it's €10,000 for makeover with Foy's, €10,000 in cash. And it's a case where you just have to buy a ticket to be with a chance to win. You can buy one ticket for €15 or five for 50. So there's great value in buying five tickets for €50. And you do so by going to our website, highlandradio.com. Click on the link and get your tickets there. Now, we're also giving away €5,000. This has been added on to make it even more attractive to you. If you've already bought your ticket, by the way, you're in every single draw. Don't worry about that. But if you get your ticket before Monday, you are in with a chance of winning €1,000 per day next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. So in total, €25,000 in prizes. Now, you can go onto the website, as I mentioned, or if you prefer to give us a call here, what happens is that we will process the payment for the ticket and you get your ticket number with your name on it delivered to your email. So one ticket for 15, five for €50. And I'll put it to you like this. The odds are really, really good on this if you wish to enter, because it's for us here, our listeners at Highland Radio. So get your tickets now. And if you get them today, you're entered into all the draws. So you don't have to worry about getting your tickets on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever. Right, highlandradio.com or give us a call on 07491 25000. Enter today, make your dream home a reality. You don't have long to be in every single draw, so please don't miss out. Okay, that's a bit of housework. Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Co, Remelton and Letterkenny. We're going to talk questions from our listeners, of course, but I couldn't come to you without getting your views on what's happening, I was going to say in America, but globally.
Yeah, yes, Greg. It's been some week all round. I have to say that. Of course, the only show in town it is Liberation Day, and what the events in the Rose Garden, and he wants it to be commemorated into the future. It could become a sort of some sort of a national holiday, maybe in the US times to come, maybe another bank holiday or something. But what I find fascinating is that with all the gurus that we have and all the financiers, the economists. And the way that the matter is being reported, I find it interesting that it doesn't seem like anybody has really dug down into the types of figures that are being thrown out there. And what I mean by that is when, if you try to simplify it slightly and you say, well, these surpluses that are there and just using R1, the European at 39 or whatever percent, 40%, saying that that is a surplus that's going into the US and then so he takes 50% of that. Nobody is actually, apart from trying to put it to something like VAT, which seems a bit nonsensical, but nobody has actually tried to assess, is that even correct, you know, in relation to the figures? Like, and where does he get the figure, like a sort of a 20, he's 48 or 50% Vietnam, so he's putting 24% or something there. Like he's Japan, he's bringing in a 25%. A tariff, saying that there's a 50% surplus coming in. Now, if that has happened throughout the years, you couldn't blame him for taking this action, really.
Well,
these are imports coming in.
Okay, but
people are taking advantage of the USA.
No,
if that is reality. But my question is that, and has anybody really assessed where these figures are coming from?
But can I put it to you like this, Seamus? Right, so he's divided to get the figures. They tried to make out it was complex, and then it turned out it wasn't. It's the trade deficit, really, and they've halved that. So they've divided the imports from Taiwan into the exports, or the exports into Taiwan, they've divided them into the imports, and that's the trade deficit. And they've halved that, and that's what it is. But Taiwan is producing runners, they're producing toys. It's the American consumer that's buying them, and there's no way America could ever compete. The reason that we lost Fruit of the Loom and other companies is because of the wage costs and the overhead, so they've moved to other low-cost economies. That can't be rectified with tariffs, surely, Seamus?
It's a very good, very interesting point. And you could take it a little bit further and say the car industry in America, like the great car industry that was there, and now all the imports coming the other way. Like those states such as where they were renowned for Ohio, Michigan, Detroit, you know, that was real car manufacturing country. Those there are deserted now. There's massive big factories closed up there. And he is hoping to try to get the car industry back at 25%. What's interesting about that facet is that there isn't going to be the labor force or the technology there to be able even to service that. So, I mean, that doesn't seem to be well thought through to me, but that is actually a fact. And the cost of labor in those particular states now in America is off the charts, because it's all run by unions. So therefore it has to go south. So that they're not, that's not really going to happen. But the interesting thing about the figures that you're saying is that we're saying the latest from the CSO in our wee country here has us at 70 billion of a plus surplus into the USA. The flip side of that, and this is interesting, Greg, is the services coming the other way are 163 billion. So there isn't a deficit there. The Americans have 93 billion up on us if you assess one against the other. That's not a deficit at all. So any arithmetic will tell you that. But this is the point that I'm trying to just to ventilate, is that really, has there been a proper assessment, or is this more scaremongering thrown out there? Oh, sure, then we would really get down to having proper discussions about open trade. So I think that the end game is that he wants an open trade market and the market to dictate price. Again, I think that that's not going to help him, because at the point you make, it's because the manufacturing cost is so low in these other countries that they are quids up or dollars up all day and every day. And it's the same with the pharma thing and the pharmaceuticals. There are a lot of them are being manufactured out in these countries and be shipped into America. How do they have the technology to even replace them? How long would that take? It is nonsensical.
And he also imposed, like, say, for instance, they have a trading surplus with Australia, and there's a couple of other countries as well, and yet he's imposed a 10% tariff on Australian imports.
But sure, it's going to be 20% on us. And as I said, if you do the maths on it, he is 163 billion of services coming from the USA into Ireland. Right, we're selling goods to the value of 70 billion in there, which he's saying that's a surplus on goods. But he's completely ignoring the other side of the coin, which is far greater. Mm. So I think that if you were trying to work it out, you'd want to be, well, Einstein then look down the road, a prophet of some sort, or to be able to say, well, what is he really intending to do?
Well, I think what
is
intended
to open up world trade.
Well, what I think is there are some discrepancies, right? So, say for instance, in cars, which you mentioned, and that's the big focus. There's a 10% tariff on cars from the United States coming into the EU. You know, the Germans, etc., want to maintain their market. And what have you. It's a 2.5% tariff on EU cars going into America. So maybe that could be equalised. Do you know what I mean? And there's no way we can address the trade deficit, because it is an open market, right? The 40% trade deficit that is across the EU and to America. So presumably it's the little wins on the likes of the 10% we're sticking on cars, whereas they're only charging 2.5%. There are other areas as well. He wants meat. He wants the drug-infused chicken and beef to be available in European markets, as opposed to the fact that that whole market is closed to American meat. I'm not sure we're going to give ground on that, but are those the wins? He can go back to the American farmers and say, I've opened up the biggest market in the world to you guys, or he can go back to the car manufacturers and say, now we have a level playing field.
Well, they're small wins in what is really happening. I mean, when you reference the manufacturing, the car manufacturing, I would say that's bigger than the farming industry, and the amount of people that we're talking about getting back to work and making America MAGA again, like all of that catchphrase stuff. If that's what he's doing, he's prompting or promoting that on one hand, and at the same time, within the space of a couple of months, there are 200,000 people, civil servant types, that are out of their jobs because of cuts that he has made. Now, when all those chickens come home to roost, you know, you have to have a plan that seems logical and balanced. But I'm lost for having one on this, because they're contradictory. They don't sit evenly with each other at all. So if he does want free trade and world free trade, he'll have to be able to produce the goods at the value of Taiwan, as you referenced. And there's just no way, because labor is so expensive in America. Everything is so expensive. It's expensive enough here so that we can't compete, as you've referenced already, losing fruit of the loom to other countries such as India or whatever. So that's it. The world has changed completely, and markets have changed. And the US isn't maybe the be-all and end-all anymore, unless they can get their baseline costs right down. And I don't see how to do that, because the cost of living is too high over there as it stands at the moment.
And it's already increasing.
And that's his bread and butter. Yeah. And that's his backyard. And if he doesn't have that in order, what he has done now, actually, and again, talk about shooting yourself in the foot, but when the Americans see it in their grocery bill and see the cost that these tariffs, when they go to see their new car in the garage and it's up whatever 25%, or that they were hoping to buy, you know, when the cost, if it ever comes in, about pharmaceuticals go up and medicines become scarce, say, for example, I mean, where does that leave it? We'll end up. Well, it could be a very short term if that's the policy, and that just doesn't seem to be a policy that will ever garner support. How long, but that is any good for the U.S. citizen?
Yeah, and how long does it take to build a fully equipped and quality staffed pharmaceutical factory? How long does it take to build a modern car manufacturing company that can compete with BYD and the rest of them? How long does it take? It's remarkable stuff. And also, too, they put tariffs on an island that's only populated by penguins, which is quite remarkable, but not a tariff of kind on North Korea or Russia.
Yes, yeah.
Which Korea, not a lot of people have mentioned.
Yeah, no, it's well founded at that point. Russia have a surplus of goods going in at 2.5 billion. The surplus on Russian goods going supposedly into the USA. That's what's reported, he is completely silent on that. I just thought the optics too in the Rose Garden were fascinating. Like when he was there and he was using the board, you know, it was something akin to, you'd see like a TikTok board at maybe entry tomorrow or something, you know, and bringing that and making these decisions to trash 75 years of actual of trade global trading systems and practices. Unbelievable stuff.
It is.
It was it's a cross between your soap opera and your reality TV, and it's all molded in and rhymed into one. But I'd like to hope there's something more behind it.
Yeah, and like I said a bit facetiously on April Fool's Day, that, you know, to try and come up with something in this modern world that is unbelievable, that is not believable, is crazy. Right. Seamus Gunn is with me. He's taking your legal questions right about now. My friend's brother owes him €25,500. His brother put up sheds and milking parlours. The brother has receipts to show that he owes him all the money for the materials and work. What can the brother do to claim back the money? This has been ongoing for years, and the two brothers don't get on. Seamus, you muted there, I think. No, Seamus, you're muted.
It's a very difficult situation. You could see probably how it has gone on for years. Likely that brothers, one doesn't want to take the other on about what on the face of it seems to be a debt for services, putting up sheds and milking parlours. It's an expensive job. And obviously, there's a big payment due. It's $25,500, and probably because of the relationship, they've been reluctant to approach the thorny issue. But I would be careful here, because at the very end, I think he referenced it's going on a number of years. So just that thrown in at the finish, I would certainly take note of it anyway, and be alert to it, because if it goes beyond 6 years and as a debt, there will certainly be issues, or there could be issues raised by the debtor as far as the statute of limitations goes, as to whether it is statute barred or not. And that would be a very difficult pill to swallow. So I think that if he is wanting to pursue it and he wants to secure his position and it's not being acknowledged and there's been no payment made towards it over the period, an installment towards it would help to stop the clock running. Just keep that in mind, but it doesn't seem to be the situation. So if we're beyond 6 years, well, he could be certainly in difficulty. He'd want to speak to his legal people and get matters underway. And by that, I mean formally requesting the payment for the job and then issue proceedings and secure a judgment. Now, that's not even going to be the end of it because it can be extremely frustrating and he'd probably have to look at, well, what's he going to get if there is an asset there, the brother has an asset that he can collect it from? Because if he doesn't, he could end up maybe looking at down the road, getting a judgment, trying to market, to charge it as secured against a property, and then proceeding to maybe seek an order for sale and to secure the money out of that property. And again, we're back to the thorny issue of siblings and the issues that arise with that. So it's one that you would like to think that they could come to some sensible arrangement about it. It's certainly a debt that's due. Those are the avenues open. You'd want to move soon.
Okay. But eating bread soon forgotten, and I wonder if that's a factor here. Seamus, these things happen from time to time. So say my brother came to me and says, look, if you got €25,000, like if I then said yes, but I just want me to run it past Seamus Gunn here, would that leave me in a stronger position? Now, people might not like to say that to a sibling, but when we're talking big money, would it be less complicated if there was a solicitor or a lawyer involved in advance of any money changing hands?
Well, yes. While not promoting any form of
legal service. I asked the question. No,
be sensible to if that was the query. I think the individual may be well advised to consider having one, a form of agreement, and two, if that's the sum, the type of sum that being advanced, it's no small sum of money, and that's the type of money that you could set up, create a mortgage for that figure, and then you could secure that on the particular property on which I think it's sheds or milking parlours have been constructed. And therefore, it would be a charge that would be on that property and it would be secured against that property. So that would be a way to approach it if you were looking at it legally and saying you're advancing that money. That's the way a bank, for example, I would anticipate would approach such a situation. And because it is an economic arrangement between brothers, it shouldn't really be any different. But it is different because the first reaction you get to that is, oh, you do not trust me. I'll give it back to you. And then you have the emotional side of it and the sibling side of it, which is brought to play. And once that comes in, it gets a bit fudgy and, the grey and as well say, of course, I trust you and sort of advance the money. And now you're in this situation. While if you do take legal advice, set up a form of agreement, put a mortgage on the property, well, it's secured then. And if he wants the money, it shouldn't be an issue. But I can see how these situations do arise, and they do often, it does happen quite often, because of the sibling relationship and the trust that's there. And maybe you could even have a parent saying, of course, he's good for it, etc. Mm. You know, and all would influence the creditor to advance it and to do right by him and say, sure, you'll always get it back. You know that. But that day may not come. And if it goes beyond 6 years and there's a debt that's due, it could be then seen, well, it could be completely frustrated and the whole relationship would be completely polarized at that
well,
stage.
Well, that's it. It's the biggest cost there is potentially a relationship with your sibling. I'm not sure who they believe they're entitled to get this back from. Maybe it's the estate. But anyway, I'll ask you the question because you're the expert. Can you ask Seamus if I'm entitled to get the money I paid for my mum's funeral and headstone and grave surround? It's 8K. It's been 2.5 years since she died. The solicitors will not get back to me or speak to me. Am I entitled to get this money? Thanks.
Well, just dealing with it as an estate, right? If there was a will and it's a probate situation, just if it was that type, One of the first recitals is in a will is that they appoint executors and direct that they pay all their just debts, funeral and testamentary expenses. That's a standard recital paragraph of a will. So that probably answers the question for the individual in that they're entitled to get that out of the estate whenever the money comes in from the estate or whatever the estate is gathered in. If it's an intestacy and there is no will and they're taking out a grant of representation, that would also, the assets still have to be valued, and any debts, which would include any debts owed by the deceased during their lifetime and any debts that would have been incurred as a result of the passing of the deceased, such as funeral, even headstone and any expenses that would be go towards that, would be noted in the administration for collecting in and for paying out. So the answer is that, in my view, it is a debt of the estate and it should be paid out by the estate. It could become a little bit more thorny as to whether there's any money in the estate. And that could be if there's any liquid assets in order to pay it. And if they're not, then that can become trickier. It would be some of the assets should really be chargeable for that, or whoever is getting the benefit of them should see fit to pay off those type of debts. But I would see it as a debt of the estate, yes.
Waiting since last year on probate back from Dublin, all my solicitor says is they have no update. How long does it take to get probate sorted? And is there any place we can get an update? We need this probate done soon.
Well, look, it depends. Probates can be take anything from like 6 to 9, 12 months before maybe the application is even lodged, and then maybe something similar on the other side. That type of timescale, if it is straightforward. But we don't have all the ingredients in this question. We're not alive to what the issues are or why there would be a delay. But there is a period of time for which, whenever they're lodged, until such time as it would issue, and that is something that they can check out themselves through their own solicitors. And they would be in a position to advise them of it. The District Probate Registry Office is here in Letterkenny, and they're extremely helpful and always have been, and even dealing with lay inquiries. And then you have the Probate Office in Dublin. Now, they might have a different work regime. They'd have to check that out. But I think that they use an email system, but they certainly would be contactable as such. But the port of call here is whoever is dealing with the estate. There can be situations, Greg, where there might be issues about assets, ascertaining where they are, valuations, situations that we've referenced already where debts can arise. And all of those can give rise to delays and time passing. And that's to be expected. And that's the way the system works. But keep the lines of communication open. That's the key here.
Interesting one here. My fence went down during the storm. The fence is facing my side. I got it fixed. Is the neighbour next door obliged to help in the costs?
Yes, that is interesting. And just after Storm Aegon, some of these issues have been arising, and no doubt they will in the future. Good fences make good neighbours. That's an old saying, but it is there is truth in it. So there is. And you have a situation here where if you're living in close proximity, it's much better meeting people on a daily basis, to have a good rapport and to have some give and take. Now, the caller is asking the question, and I would have to, first of all, probably find out or clarify as to who is actually the owner of the fence in the first instance. If it's a party and party fence straight down the middle of the boundary and has been there for both of them to have the benefit of, and each has benefit, and it's on the boundary itself, I would look at that similar to maybe what we'd call a party wall, and that each side would have a certain responsibility for the upkeep and maintenance of it. But if the individual themselves that have sent in the query has actually constructed it and they've put their own money into it, and it's their fence, well, in that situation, they're the owner of it, and they can't really impose on the neighbour to contribute to it. Mm. But if you want to try to apply a common goodwill sense towards the issue, you would say, well, both are getting the benefit, and with a little bit of a discussion or a bit of rapport before they start anything, come to an agreement whereby it could be shared. I would see it as one that should maybe likely be shared if both have the benefit.
Yeah, but
if one individual owns it, then they can't impose it on the other.
Yeah, but our caller has the panels and the neighbours have the posts.
Depending
on the fence, but you know what I mean.
Well, first of all, in that situation, I'd probably say, well, okay, we'll get a digital survey done. They're prepared to pay for that expense and find out exactly where the boundary is.
Mm.
Now, if then you have an issue and someone saying those are over there and they're not playing ball and they're not prepared to cooperate at all, but I want a fence up, well, then if that's the case, you at your own expense, then you construct your fence along your own line and just staying within your line. And therefore, you own that fence.
Okay. This is probably a quickie and it needs to be. I have a problem. I purchased a tractor battery. There was a 2-year warranty on it. The battery gave up and I took it back and they replaced it with a second battery. Now, the second battery has also given up after 1 year and 4 months. And they told me that it wasn't covered. Is this right, that the second battery isn't covered under the warranty, the 2-year warranty?
It's interesting. You have to see the warranty, of course. But if, as the caller has phrased the question, that they have had a replacement brand new battery, brand new product, again, for the one that was defective in the first instance, well, then, if, and it's the same make, mark, and model, and all the same spec, and that's assumed, well, at that situation, and with the warranty of 2 years, my view would be, well, it would stand to logical sense that the same warranty should apply to the next one, regardless of the fact that we're now 3.5 years down the road, but that's not the 3.5 years that applies to the product in the first instance. That's the 18 months that applies to the product in the second instance, and that is the one that should be covered if it is the exact same. But, and there is a but, and we don't know this, but if the second unit was carrying 1-year warranty, well, then they're out of time.
Brilliant stuff as always. Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Co. They've got offices in Remelton and Letterkenny, but also readily available online, Seamus.
Yes, Greg, hope so. Gunn.ie or Donegalsolicitors.ie. We should be there.
Brilliant. See you soon, Seamus. Thank you so very much indeed. That's Seamus Gunn there. 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Now, really shortly, we're going to be taking the news at 11, followed by That's Entertainment. Michael and Fionnuala are going to be in with us. Of course, there's been an awful lot of conversation this week about tariffs and every other topic that has been discussed, and all really important, and we love talking about it. But also, we take 1 hour out of a really long week where we just have an old chit-chat, and it's under the basis that we talk about things that are good fun to do. For some, it's watching the telly, going to the cinema, reading a good book, listening to a podcast. Maybe you've got plans for this weekend. Maybe you've been working all week and you see that the weather's going to be pleasant Saturday, Sunday, and actually right through next week, much of next week. Maybe you've got something nice planned for the weekend as well. Just bring us some joy. Share us your optimism and your plans and tell us what you're going to do for fun. Or maybe make recommendations to other people. Maybe there's a little treat that you've had heading out around the Northwest and you think that other people should enjoy this because it's fantastic. Maybe they don't know about it. As I'm saying, we call it That's Entertainment, but it captures everything. And we love when you're involved in the convo. 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call either on 074 91 25,000. And we're going to take a break. I'll be back with the weather and a few of your comments before 11. So caller says, the strip searching of peaceful female protesters in Dublin on Mother's Day was most awful and amazing. That so little word of it. Yes, tariffs took the headlines. The Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government are not serious on Gaza and afraid to say boo to ones that simply supply Israel the bombs, seemingly the bully wins. Just one little point of clarification on that now. It's been broadly accepted that whilst they were mistreated by many people's account, they weren't strip searched. That didn't actually happen. But also, you see, you talk about the tariffs and you talk about Gaza. You know, we have the Occupied Territories Bill because everything kind of is interwoven. That's really pretty much going to be shelved now as part of this tariffs war, because if we proceed with that, and I say we, it's not my decision, it's the government, but I believe if the government are seen to proceed with that, that will be seen as an escalation of the tariffs war. So I wouldn't, when everything is in a context, if you know what I mean, and what's happening in Gaza, horrendous. Effectively, Israel now saying they're just going to go in and take swathes of Gaza. It's not even headline news any longer. But the one little string to our bow we potentially had was the occupations, the Occupied Territories Bill. That's going to be shelved now. You can be sure of that as part of the whole tariffs thing. Hi, Greg. Seamus is right about Trump's deficit figure assessment. As a UK Daily Telegraph story proves, Norfolk, Ireland, governed by Australia, has been given 29% tariffs, even though it doesn't have any exports of note. However, it does import from the US, other islands in Arctica. Another, the unemployment rate in the US is 4.1, which is very close to what is regarded as full employment. If the plan is to take all this manufacturing back to the US, where will they get the employees from? If you're a company in other parts of the world, you won't look at the USA and think, if I come back, there'll be plentiful employees to staff these factories. There is an unsubstantiated bluff and should be called out. Well, you know where you get the staff. And it can be really quite controversial and has been controversial in this country. Right. OK. Thanks for all your comments on that stuff. Let's take a break. We'll have the news headlines at 11 and then Michael and Fionnuala in studio with me.